Happy Father's Day. Oh, you guys aren't really happy over here, I'm telling you, okay? Take a look at this. This is my first slide. How many of you have seen this picture before? One person over here. Good. You guys all need to go up Highway 35 and you'll see this picture taken from the Pine Grove area. Isn't it a beautiful picture, you guys? And when you go down 13th, what mountain do we see? Mount Adams. Scott, you were saying summit to summit. These are the two mountains that embrace this beautiful valley. You can't help but see the handiwork of God. This is taken from the Panorama Point area, Pine Grove area, and it's just beautiful. It is such a beautiful sight. When I was speaking up at the Nazarene Church in Parkdale here recently, Carl Casey, some of you might know him, he's had a shoulder replaced, and so he wasn't able to do a lot, so I filled in for him. And I told the people up in Parkdale, there's one reason why I know you come down to Hood River to shop, and that is your return home. You get to see this mountain. You know, as you go up Highway 35, you guys know where the mill is on the left-hand side there as you're going up? There's a mill there. And you go over the crest of that kind of hill, and you start dropping down the Assembly of God Church. That geodesic is right there. How many of you have pulled over to take a look at the mountain? I mean, I have. It is so beautiful. And if you want to go up Highway 281, you can see some great shots there. But we live in a blessed area. Happy Father's Day again. I'd like to, what's that?
Happy
Father's Day. I would like to have us say this together. Can we do this, you guys? Together we'll say it. Ready? One, two, three. We have seen and do testify the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. 1 John 4:14. Okay? There was a purpose for Jesus coming, and we're excited to talk about it today. And before I pray, I just want you to know I got a text message. Two of our teachers from Horizon Christian School scheduled a trip to Israel. And this morning, I visited with Ray Kemp. Ray Kemp says, Oscar, these fancy things called phones, says, Oscar, I'm reading this text in a bomb shelter. I go, what? Yeah, we have been in and out of bomb shelters. We had no idea when we planned this trip that that is what we're going to do. And then later in the text message from them, I said, Ray, and can you tell me, what are you doing besides going in and out of the bomb shelters? He says, Oscar, this is history in the making that's happening. And this is what he said to me. Let me see if I can find it here. He said, today in Jerusalem, right now it's about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the evening. We drove around Jerusalem, but they wouldn't let us into the old city. We saw the upper room and David's tomb from the outside. Both were closed. And we heard from a retired Israeli school principal about the educational system in Israel. And in about 5 minutes, he said, we're going to hear from the mother of one of the hostages who was killed. So they are really experiencing firsthand some tremendous history. Is there any one of you concerned about the end times? Jesus says, I'm coming back. Not as a suffering Messiah, but as we sang, he's coming back as the what? King of kings and Lord of lords. We need to, as believers, we need to be looking forward to his coming. And I just want to, I mentioned that about Ray this morning. Out of the blue, Ray sent me a text. And I want to just lift them up too today as we just pray for the safety of brothers and sisters around the world. Father God, thank you so much for being my brother up there says, no, you got 30. I'm going to mute you in 30 minutes. So is it true I've got 30? I love it. I love it, you guys. Thank you so much. Any of you ever had a bad day, a bad dad day? Anybody, come on. Anybody ever have? Okay, you had one? I had one, and I've got to tell you about it because it really is kind of funny. We have a fairly large family, 9 children, 17 grandkids at this point, but we were heading into Portland to go to Costco because the food we could get at Costco would pay for the actual gas to get there and back. So we would buy volumes of food, and if you ever want to know how to do that and you want to have a large family, there's a young lady back here called my wife you can talk to on how to do that. But I promised my kids ice cream. Okay, are you ready for this? Ice cream at Troutdale. It used to be Burns Brothers. You guys remember that? I'm kind of dating myself. And so we pull into Burns Brothers, and a couple of the kids went with me into Burns Brothers to get the ice cream, and it's hard ice cream we're looking for. Hard ice cream. And there was a line of about 10 people. And I go, no way is this going to work, because we wanted to get back. We have Sunday night service. We want to kind of keep those commitments going. So I've got a hold of my child, and we're walking to the doors that open up, you know, when your body gets to a certain point, you know, it opens up, and a guy jumps out and grabs my son. Grabs my son, pulls him away from me, and he said the following, "Is this your dad?" And my son looked up at me. He pointed his finger. Read it with me. Bad dad. Was I a bad dad? I didn't keep my what? Come on. Promise. I didn't keep my promise. I didn't have plan B. I had to get home real quick. I was a bad dad. Now, this kid has gotten back at me, I want you to know. He says, "Dad, when we pull our Christmas gifts, we kind of, you know, not everyone gets the same gifts and things like that, and so we draw names." He drew my name. And we went skydiving. Do you remember that? I've shown that here before. Michael just laughed his head at me. As I go first, I turn and look back, and he's just grinning from ear to ear. I mean, when you drop out of a plane at 15,000 feet, and you travel 120 miles an hour, and it does this, you know, he got back at me, and to this day, since I mentioned his name, I owe him a candy bar. So we keep this loving relationship going. But there are days, isn't it, people? We do have bad days. Last Sunday, do you remember where Pastor Tommy left? Right at the end of chapter 7 of Romans and the first 2 verses of Romans chapter 8. And I... Let's see if I get my notes straightened out here for bad dad. What do we do here? Okay. Oh, another verse. Jesus is the same
yesterday, today, and forever.
Okay, I heard the front row. How about the back row? Here we go. Jesus is the same
yesterday,
today, and forever. So what? Does Jesus change? No. It's been 2,000 years, people. He is alive today at the right hand of Father, and he's waiting to return. And it could be literally any day. So what has he told us to do? Be ready. Be ready. Because he is returning. Okay, one more time. Let's say it together again. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, Paul read about a woman that interacted with Jesus. Her life changed. Her life story changed. So the woman at the well. Before we get into her life story that Paul read all about, and Paul, again, thank you for reading. Thank you for the music again up here. It's just so good. There was, obviously, Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross, and this was Roman punishment. Okay, this was set up by Rome. But I want you to understand that there was something even worse than crucifixion. And Tommy read about it, and we can read about it as we look at Romans, the end of the chapter. Do you remember how he shared last Sunday? "Wretched man that I am. I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I should do." Do we understand life? Yeah. Who is going to free me from this wretched life? And then he says, thanks be to God that Jesus frees me from this life. Why did Jesus come to this earth? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. A few years back when I was a lifeguard at the swimming pool, we had a 3-meter board, a 1-meter board, and a slide. And as a lifeguard, you always, there's those, I can't say always junior high kids, we always pick on them, but there's always kids that are pushing the standard. And when you go down a slide, you either have to go feet first or on your belly. Not on your knees, because if you go on your knees, you raise the center of gravity up, and you could go either left or right and hit your head. Well, as a lifeguard, I'm in my lifeguard stand, and I see the young boy who is on the slide. And I see what he's doing. I blow my whistle at him. He's going down on his knees. He flips off the slide, hits his head on the side of the pool. I took my glasses off, dove into the pool, went all the way down to 12 feet, brought him back up to the top. We had called the ambulance at the time, and we worked together just to make sure this kid was okay. He had no idea other than he had a bump on his head about really big. What did I become for him? My Savior. I became a Savior for him. I saw the need, and I dove in. Jesus came to this earth to be the Savior of the world. Isn't that some of the greatest news that we can share? I was playing 18 holes of golf yesterday with some football players that I played college football with over at Indian Creek. What a great opportunity to talk to some of the ball players about Jesus. So wonderful, you guys. We have this tremendous freedom to do that. And what great joy to be able to do that. But there was something worse. There was something worse in punishment. I mean, if you can imagine the cross, suffocating to death, hardly able to speak or talk. But the Romans had established something even worse than crucifixion. And this is what it was. They would take a criminal who was just gnarly bad, and they would take a dead body, and they would latch it on to this criminal, arm to arm, shoulder to shoulder, leg to leg. This person, for the next 2 or 3 weeks of his life, was to pack a dead body. Maggot infested, juices running from the dead body as it decomposed, onto the heart and life of this criminal. Within just a few weeks, the criminal would die. That's the picture that the Apostle Paul is painting for us. Who can free me from this wretched life? I end up doing this when I don't want to do it, and I end up doing this when I should be doing this. Jesus, people. The Jesus of Scripture has come to free us. He came to free us and to give us life and life eternal. It's no mistake what Jesus did for us. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, he's got Gentiles and Jews there. He's telling them that the law is not sufficient. It's Jesus. So the writer of this article about dead weight, you've heard now where dead weight has actually originated from. And that was a dead body attached to a criminal. Ever heard of dead weight? Okay, the question that we're going to ask ourselves at communion is there some dead weight that we're packing that we shouldn't pack? And before we do that, let's take a look at the woman at the well. Could you hit the next slide for me there? This comes about 10 chapters. Oh, that was me. I could have done that. But I forgot I had the control button here. Okay, here we go. John 14, 6. Let's read this together. Jesus said to him, I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14, 6. No one. So Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way. Very important to understand, especially in a culture today that has all different directives in life. Ever seen this before? Is that pretty, you guys? That is one of the most beautiful butterflies I have seen. Accident? Or is there a design to it? Well, you and I know that before a butterfly can become a butterfly, there's a lot of things it has to do, right? It has to go through various stages, an egg stage, a larva, and a pupa. I was getting in a car last week, and there was this little brown and black little fuzzy thing crawling on the ground. And so I went, whoa, stepped over, you know, real big. I didn't want to squish it. But that little thing becomes this thing. And you've got to understand in life, we have to go through various stages, and that's called metamorphosis. So the Apostle Paul addresses this issue. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be what?
Transformed.
And that word is metamorphosis in biology. So he's using a biology term for you and I to understand that we need to be transformed, okay? Very, very important. Now, take a look at these stages. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Do you find yourself up there? Come on. Do you see yourself up there? What stage would we be in? I don't have a cane yet. There's times that I'm kind of walking around. I was in a wheelchair a few years ago because of my back, and I'm going in for another MRI to check my back out. But I would say I'm pushing probably to the far left. No, far right. Okay? But just naturally, we just get older, right? It's just how it takes place. Well, when we change our thinking, our mindset, guess what happens? New what? New results. Now, my wife doesn't know I'm going to share this, so hang in there with me, okay? My wife and I discovered something about ourselves. Need to lose a little bit of weight. Is that okay to talk about? So we decided to do what maybe a lot of people are doing. Maybe you've heard about chair yoga. How many have heard about chair yoga? Anybody? Am I? Oh. People, it works. It really works. A total of 6 minutes. Isn't that right, huh? About 6 minutes. We do a few exercises, and it's just crazy good. As you discipline yourself, we can say, hey, we're not going to do it today. We can take a rest. And then next thing, we'll skip another day. We'll skip another day. And then we forget all about it. But we're finding it very refreshing to do together. Chair yoga. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, he was speaking to them all, there's four things. Whoever wants to be, there's a desire to be a disciple for Jesus. Okay? If we have a desire to be a disciple, some of you may know that in the New Testament, 3 or 4 times the word Christian is mentioned. Only 3 or 4 times. But the word follower or disciple, 260 times. So what do you think God wants us to be? He wants us to be a disciple, a follower. Okay? Now, if a person chooses not to follow Jesus, but yet they trust Christ, what stage will they be in for the rest of their life? Any idea, spiritually speaking? According to Scripture, they'll be an infant. The Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul says, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Savior. Grow, grow, grow. Okay? And that's what he wants us to do. He wants to move along with different mindsets. One of the things in discipleship is denying yourself. How many of you have the right idea all the time? Yeah, I saw that child raise their hand. We have a pretty good handle on it as we get older, but we begin to find that, you know, it's not that important to always be right. We don't have to be right. That can sometimes be our God, our idol, thinking that I've got all the right answers. People, I don't. I'm still growing. So we must deny ourselves, get to take up our cross, and our cross is daily. Okay, how many of you have children? How many of you are married? Woo! How many of you work? Woo! You have an opportunity like none other person on the planet. You get to work. You have children, you have grandchildren, you have neighbors, you have enemies, you have friends. You got all kinds of people that you get to know. That's taking up your cross. How often should we take up our cross? Daily. Do you think the church in America would be different if we actually took Christianity seriously every day? Think about it. Every day, how I relate to my kids, how I relate to my wife, how do I relate to? In 1972, I committed my life to Jesus, a single adult male. In 1975, I committed my life to my wife. In 1979, we had our first child. So within a decade of time, I went from a single to a married to a dad. Our cross changes. So analyze your cross. See what it is to see how you can honor God. This is what Jesus is saying about being a disciple. And then there's two words at the very end of this verse, follow me. Wow. I get to follow Jesus. The greatest example of life that's ever been on this planet, following Jesus. Well, let's get back to the woman at the well. What part of the country was she from? Samaria. Did the Jews and Samaritans get along, you guys? Like zero, okay? Even though they had distant relatives, zero. As a matter of fact, Jesus could have gone around Samaria, but he sent his disciples in to get a bite to eat, and he meets this woman at the well. And what is Jesus' request? Give me a drink. And then what does she talk about? Whoa! You're a Jew, and you're a rabbi, and a man, and you're talking to me, a woman. Won't I defile you? I mean, heated conversation. And then Jesus just says, honestly, if you knew who was talking to you, and if you would like the water that I would give you, you'll never have to drink this water again. Oh, you're bigger and better than Jacob then, huh? No. I come to give life and give it eternally. You'll never have to drink again from this well. Then she says, give it to me. And then Jesus says, go get your husband. Jesus says, she says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, you're right. You've been married 5 times, and the man that you're with is not your husband. Now, people, can I just ask you a question? How did Jesus know that? Okay, you say he knows everything. Does Jesus know everything? How about in 2025? Why do you know that he knows everything? This was back in 33 AD. He's with us always. He says, I will never leave you. Now, wait a second. He is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. He's still here. Who is this that's here? It's the Holy Spirit. He comes into our lives the moment we trust him. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Read in John, you'll see. He's called the Advocate. He's called the Comforter. He'll come and teach us everything that we've ever read, and he'll help us understand how to live. He comes in and he sets us free from this wretched man that I am. The Roman church had forgot that. Paul was addressing that issue with, what are you packing around? What are you packing around? And now she goes, hey, sir, it looks like to me that you're a prophet. You know a few things. Scaring the living daylights out of me, basically, you know? And then his comment is, as Paul read, God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. 1972, my roommate died in college. He died of an epileptic seizure and drowned in his own blood. I found him. I ran out of the room, cussing, swearing, madder than a hornet. The ambulance showed up. I said, first room on the left. And I literally went almost running down Monmouth Avenue at Western Oregon State College. A white van pulled up right next to me. And this Hispanic man, jumped out of his van and said, son, God loves you. I don't know what's happened back there, but he said, my wife has a stillborn child inside her, and God loves my wife and loves me. Son, look to Jesus. He got back in his van and drove off. I went back this way to the house, probably another 200 yards. And as the ambulance brought my roommate out, a friend of mine came up named Jerry. And Jerry says, Oscar, what happened here? I said, Jerry, Dan just died. He says, no. And then he looked at me, and this is what he asked. Oscar, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? I said, Jerry, I'm done playing games with God. I think I've been playing games. I want to know the answer to that question before I put this head on a pillow tonight. And along with three or four other college students, in a small room off to the side of First Baptist Church on Monmouth Avenue, several of us committed our lives to Jesus. We apologized to the Lord and said, Lord, if I didn't really do this, I want to make sure I've really trusted you. And on November 9th of 1972, I said yes to Jesus. And I can remember my first day in church, you guys. Maybe I've mentioned this. An offering plate went by in the church, and I didn't know whether to take money out or put money. I had no idea. What is an offering plate? I mean, that's how churchy I was. And then one day at our church, there was a big hole cut in the thing here, and some people went down and went in water and got out of water. What's going on here, you know? Good night. They're going swimming. Swimming is a great idea. I didn't know. What is this, Jerry? He says, it's baptism, Oscar. What's that? People who accept Jesus and want to be identified with Christ and want to follow Christ are marked by baptism. I said, Jerry, is that something I should do? And Jerry started discipling me, and we went and memorized scripture. We spent time praying together, and he ended up becoming my best man in our wedding. And so on December 13th, 1972, on a Sunday morning, I come up out of the water and identify with Jesus. Three beautiful women with gray hair were waiting for me after I went in and got changed and came out. And they said, Oscar, can we talk with you? I go, oh no, what did I do? What did I say? Have you ever been in that situation before? Three wise women. They said, Oscar, the three of us want to do something for you. And we wanted to ask your permission And that is, we want to pray for you every day. Go, what? What did I do wrong? He says, it's what you're going to face, Oscar. To this day, guys, I don't know those three women's names. Not at all. But guess what those three women did for me? They, because of baptism and identification, they knew I had just trusted Christ. They started praying for me. I'm standing here today because of the witness and testimony of the church and three women in that church. So the woman at the well is confronted by the Messiah. She's got a little bit of theology too, people. She says, you know, when the Messiah comes, the Christ comes, he's going to straighten all things out and he's going to straighten my life out. Jesus said what? I am he. So she drops her water jugs, the purpose for coming out, and she runs into town. I met a man that told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? Now, people, think about this for just a moment. In Jewish culture, she would have been stoned and killed. She's in a Samaritan culture, which is different than Jewish, but very similar. She was shunned. She was put down. She was laughed at. She was mocked. That's why she was there at noon and not in the morning. She was second rate in her town. Have you ever been shamed before? Ever been laughed at before? Have you ever been bullied? You don't have the first name Oscar, do you? Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer Wiener. That is truly what I would like to be. I had elementary kids sing that to me. I was kind of putting on a face, but I didn't like that. I can still remember when I left Hood River and I went to Raleigh Hills area to go to school. Day one, sixth grade. We got an Oscar in our room. Cindy Penny is her name. You know how long ago that was? And yet some of the toughest questions came up when they say, hey, your dad's a doctor, right? I go, yeah. And you guys have the same name? Yeah, Oscar. Yeah. Where does your dad practice? At a hospital and clinic. But where? Myrtle Creek, Oregon. Oh, your parents must be what? Divorced. And I said, yeah. Oh, see you later. Have you ever had experiences like that with people? That was some of the stuff that I was packing in my life when I said, Jesus, you got me. Take that stuff. Whatever I need to do, I want to do it. Could this be the Messiah? She said. Could this be the one that we've been waiting for? Paul didn't read the end of the chapter, but this is what happened. The town came for 2 days and spent time with Jesus. Read it. They trusted Jesus. These are Samaritans, half Gentile, half Jew, for 2 days. Then the group that had heard the story from her said the following. To her, they said, we don't have to listen to you anymore because we have met the Savior of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Metamorphosis, people, not only happens with butterflies, but it happens with frogs, little tadpoles. You ever seen swimming pools full of tadpoles? I have. Our neighbor up on Eastside Road, you remember that, hon? It was really cool. I mean, they had a billion of those little guys in there, but they become frogs. And they've got to change to become a frog. We need to change too, because we've been set free by Jesus. Sometimes God does not change the situation because he's trying to change what? Our hearts. This is the bump. This is the thing that is wicked and deceitful above all else. Wretched man that I am, Paul screams, who's going to free me from this life? Jesus, people. Here again is our picture. And again, I just want to share with you, if you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you start as a babe and you begin to grow, humanly speaking and spiritually speaking. But if you choose not to follow Jesus, you're going to remain as an infant. You're going to be tossed to and fro by doctrine, and you won't be able to help other people who desire to be disciples. So I want to encourage you to move in the direction that would honor Christ with our lives. Now, there are phases in my life, and you can visit with my wife or even some of my kids, that sometimes it's rather static. I'm not moving in a right direction. So that's why we need the encouragement of the Word, hearing preaching, and be stimulated to love and good deeds. No one's perfect. Anybody here perfect yet? We're not. We're all in process, the book of Titus says. He's purifying for himself a group of people that are eager to do that which is good. Okay, what's our verse again? Let's read it together. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Isn't that cool? I think it's so neat. Jesus, people, is the Savior of the world. No doubt. Solid. So my question to you, I don't know where you're at, I know where I'm at, is he our Lord and Savior? Is he? And I wanted to share with you this last slide. He has changed my life. We're going to go to communion here, and we're going to do the bread first. We'll get those handed out, and then we'll do the juice. And I think one of the most important things in the sense of communion, it's something that Jesus left us. And in front of this table, it says, you do it in remembrance of me, Jesus says, when you do this. And prior to taking the elements, I think one of the most important things is to just evaluate. How is it going? And in light of what Paul says in Romans 7 and 8, Jesus has freed me. Jesus has freed me. So Jesus, is there things that I'm packing that I shouldn't? So maybe prior to communion, take some time to evaluate. Okay? And then tomorrow morning, take some time to evaluate. Tuesday morning, take some time daily to evaluate. How did I do? How did I do with the cross that I'm having the privilege to bear? So at this time, communion time, good to go with that. Do you want to pray before we do it real quick here? Father, thank you for your written word. Lord, this woman, this Samaritan woman, going to get a chance to meet someday. I mean, she's really a special gal, and what a great story. But what's even cooler, Father, and neater for us, is that we have our own story. You, Father, are changing us. Help us relegate that change because you, Holy Spirit, are desiring the very, very, very best for us. Help us be willing to submit our will to your will. We don't want to be infants, spiritually speaking, but if that's what we choose to do, Father, I pray you would encourage us to take a step of discipline to be a disciple. Father, thank you again for this morning, and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.